The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
And we're back. And we're back here on Analyze This. And before we pick up the conversation, we're going to bring it home. We got a local issue we're dealing with the Supreme Court taking up two cases in the middle of March. I want to give some programming notes for tonight. On the mother station, WTJX Channel 12, Wednesday, February 21st, the PBS NewsHour starts everything tonight at 7 to 8. Then Nova, right? Follow scientists and genealogists as they help a family rediscover a history obscured by slavery. And that's from 8 to 9. Nature follows Nova. He said, follow Patrick Dykstra in his quest to connect with and understand the hidden nature of the sperm whale. Right? And that's from 9 to 10. And we got another edition of Nova. Right? He said, explore the quest to recover DNA that may reveal a lost world before the last ice age. And then Secrets of the Dead takes us up to midnight. Investigate the fate of three convicts who escaped Alcatraz in rafts in 1962. And then, of course, you know, at midnight, I'm in Pouring Company, which normally is 11 to 12. But since time turned back in November, it's a midnight deal, but they're going to turn forward next month. So the news hour at 7. First of two editions of Nova at 8. Nature at 9. Second edition of Nova at 10. Secrets of the Dead at 11. I'm in Pouring Company. At midnight. Let me do a quorum call here. In the studio, my man, childhood friend, Dwayne Henry. Out of Shabbat?
Yes.
Out of Shabbat, New York. Where else?
Kennedy and Gallows Bay.
Kennedy and Gallows Bay. Man, I'm glad to have you in the
good
studio.
Morning.
Good thing. And of course, the one only handle, Donald Duck School. Out of the Rock, the capital. Morning, Mr. Majority Leader. How are you?
Man, I'm giving thanks. Yes, out of the capital. Don't forget that.
How can I? And of course, we want to give a shout out to Rani and Rocky, both on assignment this morning. You're going to respond to what we were talking about there.
Yeah, I just wanted to add a little snippet of Malcolm X. Every time Malcolm X speaks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he gave his salutation, I want to thank the men and women and all of that. And I also want to thank my enemies.
My enemies, man. That's the sweetest part.
It would be
assalamu alaikum, right?
Yes.
I they would answer and said, good evening yes, to my brothers, sisters, my friends, and my enemies. And whenever he said enemies, everybody would laugh, right?
I used to say,
that's, yeah, because they're here too.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They're here too.
No, that's a very good point there. But I like, when I look at his clips though, I like the fact that you could see his vocabulary actually was getting better and better with every interview. Ducks. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? There was one thing where he was asked, right? Did the nation get upset because you weren't hating so hard? And he said, I never hated anybody hard. You know what I'm saying? But I know when I wrote those letters, it shook up the nation, right? Because he was a mouthpiece and a leader. But one thing I want to give him credit for, and see, that's why, you know, Docs, I'm sure you do what I do. I look back to when I was in the legislature, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure there are certain things that I would have handled differently today that I did at that particular point. Why? Because it's a level of maturity. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I hear him. So when they asked him, you know, are you upset with these guys who want to kill you or who willing to kill you working for Elijah? And he said, no, because it was me who taught them that he was divine.
Bam.
So basically what he's saying is, if it happened, then I do it to myself.
Yeah.
You follow what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Now, when we're young, right, we're pointing fingers and looking for excuses like we're playing a baseball game, right?
No. Mm-hmm.
But in his case, he was mature enough to know, how can I feel a way towards anybody who I myself taught them to look at things that we're doing. Henry.
In other words, I created that monster.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So you have to take responsibility.
So that's what we deal with. Now, let we shift to a local issue. On March 12th, the Supreme Court is going to take up two cases. Both of them have to do with the legislature, right? One is the Payne v. Legislature case, right? Hold on there. I want to.
The other one is the board, WAPA board.
WAPA board with the governor, right? And that's a legislature thing as well, right? And it said the Virginia Supreme Court has scheduled three cases for consideration, including former Senator Stephen Payne's complaint against the 35th legislature over his expulsion, which actually happened, I believe, in the 34th legislature, right? In 2022, and Governor Albert Bryan's appeal of legislation changing the composition of the Virgin Islands Water and Power Authorities Board. In an order issued on Friday, the court said it will hear the Payne and Bryan cases and a child custody dispute, right? Judge Reese Hodge, Chief Justice Reese Hodge, and Associate Justices Maria M. Cabret and Ive Arlington Swan will comprise the panel for the Payne and Bryan cases, but Hodge is recused from the Malik case, where Associate Justice Jessica Gallivan will be designated in his place, according to the order. Dwayne, give the public some insight as to how that works. Judge Gallivan is currently a Superior Court judge, right?
That's correct. She is the family court judge here at St. Croix.
But our structure allows for Superior Court judges to fill in at the Supreme Court level.
That is correct. The law is written, and the rules of the court are written in such a way that they can temporarily appoint a sitting justice
to fill a seat in the event of a recusal or absent.
Absolutely.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I don't think the person has to be a sitting judge.
Yeah, because I know Judge Vern Hodge.
Yes,
has actually sat on the Supreme Court.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right.
They don't have to be a sitting judge.
Now check this out, docs and audience. Right, the VI Supreme Court transferred Payne's lawsuit against the legislature to its jurisdiction in January. In what it called an extraordinarily rare, quote unquote, case, citing in part the Superior Court's failure to issue a key opinion on a motion to dismiss for more than a year and a half.
I got the word for you. You ready?
Yes.
It's known. It's called sua spante.
Sua spante.
I know you were waiting for your Latin.
I want the Latin, and I saw that. I think that was referenced by Chief Justice Hodge, Reese Hodge, in the Chucky Hansen case, right?
Yes.
There was something there as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, answer the question. Let me make this quick. You could go up to the Supreme Court and ask question A, but the Supreme Court and any appellate court actually can sua spante add question B and C.
The term,
and I think they're going to do that in the Payne case.
Yeah. So, docs, the term sua spante is usually applied to actions by a judge taken without a prior motion or requests from the parties. So, docs, that Latin language sweet,
yeah. Yeah, man, the Latin language is sweet. I know when I did my class in college.
Of one owns accord, voluntarily.
English words from Latin and Greek element, right? Then I realized how English can become even simpler if you know Latin.
Oh, yes.
Latin and the Greek from whence the language was.
The etymology of the word, too, remember we have spontaneous.
Yes.
That comes from that.
There we go.
And then the term on the spot.
There we go.
He did it on the spot.
There we go.
Yeah.
So now the question is this, right? Are they demeaning the power of the legislature? What really going on here, man? Right? In these two cases, right? And I'm just, you know, removing myself and docs, right? We're removing ourselves from our history. And just looking at it, right, from how the legislature as the first branch of government is defined and its role in government. The last time I checked, the legislature created the Virgin Islands Water and Power Authority.
Yep.
which means that they're the ones who said the instrumentality, mm-hmm. right? The semi-autonomous instrumentality, yeah. right? Uh-huh. Is going to be this way, uh-huh. and it's going to have a board this way. Uh-huh. What really going on now if the legislature said we're changing it?
Well, I'm not sure. But, you know, one of the things you would have to look at is the enabling legislation, right, that created the board, and see if that, if you know, because a lot of legislations will say, a lot of statute will say, the board is created, right, and the governor has the authority to appoint the members of the board, right? If it says that, or if it says a board will be created that will consist of. If it says a board will be created that would consist of, that would tend to mean when you analyze the legislative history, that the legislature retained the power over that board to itself, mm-hmm. because it told you in the enabling legislation what the board is going to consist of. If that is left blank or not addressed, or if there's language saying the governor shall appoint, then it would seem that the legislature intended for the governor to determine how the board is going to be composed. And I think that's part of the DOJ's argument. I haven't read their brief, but I know in the underlying cases that was brought up, and the governor himself has said so much to that, well, they told me that I have the power to appoint this board, so that's what I'm doing. I'm exercising that power. So if we look at the enabling legislation, I think it's going to come down to a question of, did the legislature retain the authority to determine the composition of the board, or whether the legislature gave that authority to the governor? And I think that's one of the questions they're going to answer.
Here are some facts before I get Doc's opinion. WAPA was created by the 5th legislature of the Virgin Islands in 1964, arguably one of the greatest years ever. because some of us were born in 1964, you know what I'm saying? Through Act Number 1248, the enabling legislation has been amended to add the responsibility of installing and maintaining streetlights to the utility's mission. In later years, the responsibility for the production and distribution of drinking water was also added. Right, so as it relates to governing board members, WAPA's policies are established by a 9-member governing board. The board consists of both public and private sector members. The governor appoints 3 members of his cabinet to the board, and the other 6 members are nominated by the governor and confirmed by the legislature for 3-year terms. Ducks, you not only been a senator, but you worked at the PSC. You are on the PSC board. You're intimately knowledgeable about this. What's your take?
Well, like I say, I never been to law school like the Able Counsel right there.
But you and I are lawyers without portfolio.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah.
For me, the foundation of what the court has to look at, and basically, when we go to the legislature, the statement say one legislature cannot bind another legislature.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So if one legislature makes a law, right, until another legislature goes back and amend that law, right, the law stays on the books.
Correct.
Now, to Dwayne's argument, the structure in the enabling legislation, when you have legal interpretation, as you stated, or the legislature gives and the legislature take it away. Okay? So even if, and I'm just going to what Dwayne said, even if the structure at that point in time was you give the authority to the governor, to retain the authority, the legislature can go back and say, this is how we want it.
That's okay? True, but
construction, legal construction, uh-huh. I did a class in that, you know, well, in uh-huh. in free law. Legal construction, you go to Black's Dictionary, you go to all of this kind of mm-hmm. thing. And when you shepherdize the cases that lead up to that,
mm-hmm.
right? I read the opinion of Judge Carty.
But before we go there, now, you're talking about what? You're talking about Payne or WAPA?
I'm talking about WAPA.
Okay, good. Let's continue to educate the public as to what we're talking about. At the center of Brian's appeal is Act 8472, enacted when lawmakers overrode Brian's veto of Bill number 34-0021. The act limits the number of WAPA board members appointed by the governor to one. Mm-hmm. It also designates which of the governor's cabinet members sit on the board.
Right.
And that is the crux of the arguments the governor has filed. And this is from a February 6, 2024 story on the source written by Judy Schimmel. So go ahead now, Doc. So I just want the public to know what we're talking about.
That's when I said that one legislature can bind another legislature.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
But law is binding, though.
Mm-hmm. Law is binding until the legislature, the legislative branch of government, which is a lawmaking body, with the lawmaking body, makes that law, and then it is tested, you know, in this tripartite government that we have, for its constitutionality by the court.
Now, check this out. In an 8-page appellant reply brief filed Monday, this is earlier this month, which is Monday the 5th, lawyers for the Justice Department said Act 8472 violated the revised Organic Act of 1954. Uh-huh. Like I don't say in Sintawa 54. We don't say 54. With a hard R, right? Citing the document that sets the territory's legal framework, Deputy Attorney General Ian S. A. Clement told the court that under the Organic Act, it's up to the governor to make changes on boards like WAPAs. Uh-huh. Now, this is where, right, the dispute.
But where does the governor
it's get a separation of powers kind of thing.
That's what's going on. That's what's going on there.
Who has the...
Clement added that the language of 34.0021 suggested that public frustration over WAPAs' performance and pricing put pressure on lawmakers to act. Let me tell you something, Attorney Clement. Right? What do legislatures do? Absolutely. They hold committee meetings to receive testimony and they hold session to take up action on legislation. Mm-hmm. Of course. Overstating the obvious is what's going on, you know?
I would never have written such a thing in a brief.
Well,
I'll just
geez.
Leave that at that. You know, I'm not going to criticize him, but I'm just going to say that I would never put that type of language in a brief because it's provocative.
And they said the case was sent to the High Court on appeal in March of 2023 after Superior Court Judge Renee Gumbs-Carty, like you were mentioning, Ducks, issued a memorandum, an opinion denying the government's request for an injunction. Mm-hmm. Right? So, you know, we want to make sure the public know what's going on as it relates to the history there. And the question really isn't the actual language. The question really is about power and the separation thereof. Power. Right? Yeah. Right. So good. So we touch and we dispose of that in a very, very good way. We're going to ask the clerk to bring up the next item, which is the Stephen Payne issue, right? Which is Stephen Payne. Ducks, Dwayne might be a lawyer, but he never been a senator. And me and you a senator, and he never been a senator. And we never been a lawyer, so we good with that. But he's our chief legal counsel for today. We're gonna take a break and come back right after this.
Bank of St. Croix provides in-person service, personal and business checking accounts, a nonprofit community investment checking account, a 24-hour banking cash management platform, online banking, and mobile apps for banking on the go. There are two locations to serve you, the Bank of St. Croix in Gallows Bay and Bank of St. Croix in Peter's Rest. The Bank of St. Croix has something for everyone. Need details about our nonprofit community investment checking account? Our service specialists are here to help. Bank of St. Croix, member FDIC.
Human beings have been making music for tens of thousands of years. It brings us together. It has the power to communicate emotions and ideas. It's a profound part of the human experience. Hear the stories behind the music you love and new music you might fall in love with. I'm Raina Duras. Join me for in-depth interviews with artists who are continuing that musical history on World Cafe.
weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
On Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, we are not afraid to stand up to the high and mighty like Jeff Bezos.
He had that big cowboy hat on. He looked like a shrink ray had hit Garth Brooks.
I'm Peter Sagal. Join me as we speak truth to power, at least until power agrees to buy us out, on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
The PBS NewsHour has a rich legacy of in-depth reporting and strong storytelling.
Only four people have sat in that chair before us, and the enormity of this moment is not lost on me. People turn to us because they know they can hear from trusted sources of information and news.
That won't change a bit, even as the faces behind the desk change.
Good evening. I'm Jeff Bennett.
And I'm Amna Nawaz.
Weekdays at 7 p.m. on WTJX TV, Channel 12.
Back here, analyze this, and you know, gentlemen, Rudy Krieger sent me a text message. We're talking about Malcolm X. Today's the day, 59 years ago today. Yes. When he was killed, man.
Yes.
And also, he sent me a text about Augusto Sandino out in Nicaragua.
Sandinistas.
Yeah, the Sandinistas. You know what I'm saying? And he was killed on February 21st. What's up with that? You know what I'm saying?
They coordinating these things.
Now, 21 dogs. 21 supposed to be a special number because that was Timmy Duncan number. What going on, buddy?
Timmy Duncan number and the great Deion Sanders.
And Kevin Garnett when he was playing in Minnesota. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So
listen, I tell you guys, the universe.
Sevens.
The universe is what makes this thing.
Yeah. Without a doubt, check this out. A former senator who's going to remain nameless text me and said, good morning, the governor is right in this WAPA matter. Bond covenants and more are jeopardized by this kind of legislation and overreach. I disagree. I'm gonna tell you why. This is about the composition of a board. Right? Yeah. Right? I agree, right? That already in place covenants and binding contracts cannot be undermined by the legislature. Right? But the composition of a board, regardless of how you recompose it, is that a word, sir? Whatever is in place is binding.
Mm-hmm.
So the new board, if we left the board as is, or we put in place a new board, that contract and those covenants have to be respected.
That is correct.
Yeah.
So
one is form and the other is substance, right?
Yes, I think that's a spurious argument for the reasons that you just listed.
Yeah.
You can't say, oh, but the bonds are going to be affected if we change the board. That's nothing to do. Corporations issue bonds and change boards and they get coup d'etats and all kind of thing all the time. You know, governments change.
Yeah.
You know.
And I don't think we should get into the business of undermining the power of the legislature, man. I'm pro-legislature for obvious reasons.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But the first branch of government ducks. Remember when I was working legislature, I did a 9-month stint. I went there and I learned the legislature. I worked for Vargas Richards.
Mm-hmm.
And Ducks at the time was a freshman senator. Mm-hmm. And one thing he always told me, he said, Neville, one thing I'd have tried to let these legislators know is that, because I remember he had some issues there. Turnbull was struggling getting his feet wet, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He had inherited a government that was in bad shape, right? And Ducks, remember we had a delayed payday, Ducks, in April. Instead of getting paid on Thursday, we got paid on Monday, and we held committee meetings and all that stuff, and then we ended up floating some bonds and stabilizing the government. And one thing you obviously tell me, Ducks, he said, Neville, I don't tell him all the time, you know, 10 a week.
Yeah.
10 a week could take over the government whenever we ready. You know what I'm saying? That's the way this Virgin Islands government is structured, right? If you find 10 senators who say, look, no man, we coming together, it look like I don't know what I'm doing, we got that kind of power, you could do that, right? No, we don't want to get to that point because that is, you know, that would be like a microcosm of what we're seeing now with Congress, which is totally dysfunctional, right? Yeah. But by the same token, the judiciary got their role.
Mm-hmm.
The executive branch got their role, and the legislature got their role, Dwayne.
Yes, and all three need to work together, like you said. In that scenario where, for instance, you had a solid 10 majority, and you were just passing stuff, and the governor was vetoing, and you were overriding. All the governor have to do is, by using the OMB director, just not implement half-heartedly implement the wishes of the legislature, which is not the way government is supposed to be run. You know, like I said, each of them got powers. Let me not use that word, but the Organic Acts of Guam and the Virgin Islands are written in such a way because they were written by the Navy originally. They're written in such a way as to give the governor way more powers than any other governor in the United States. Our governor is like a super legislator, the governor has to be careful to not seem dictatorial, and the legislature has to be careful to not seem obstructionist.
Here's what the former senator also said, Doug School. He said, "Neville, it is a public utility, not private." And my counter argument again is this, right? The legislature created the monster.
Yes.
Right?
But Neville, the fact remains the board is still operating under the structure that was there, and the board ain't not operating.
It's just a composition.
It's just a composition.
Modification, right?
The board is still operating. The legislator said that we need your partner to come out with you for the energy hour.
Kyle Fleming.
Kyle Fleming to be a permanent member of the board, whoever that individual is.
Here is one position that I will take, right? I don't believe the governor should be limited to one member when it comes to WAPA. I think I don't want to say draconian is the word, but I think that is somewhat extreme, right? I like the current composition. If we're going to reduce it, right, you'd reduce it, but allow the governor to have multiple members on the board. That's just my take, right?
But the legislature has the authority to do that. And never look at the...
Check this out. The way it's currently structured, right? The governor and governors have a role with every member who is on the board. Because who ain't appointed by virtue of job is appointed by virtue of governor nominating them. You follow what I'm saying? I got to do my research and figure out how the new composition, what the new composition looks like. But as it relates to power, I don't think we should get into, and I don't like to use this word, but emasculating the legislature, because the legislature to me, right, is the same legislature. Look, back in the day, right, governors, when they're sending down a budget, right, they never should have sent it down, you know. Uh-huh. They just sent it down and asked the legislature to approve it.
Uh-huh.
Why? Because that's how the system works.
Uh-huh.
Without the legislature approving a budget, even if the governor like a budget a certain way, that's the reason why we have that big Senate session every September, Doc School.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Absolutely.
To approve a budget and put a budget in place effective October 1 through September 30th of the next year. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So,
and it's appropriate. One of the jobs of a legislator is to appropriate government funds. The funds didn't belong to the governor.
Mm-hmm.
It's government funds, taxpayers' money.
Correct.
But I wanted to make this point that the Public Finance Authority, Neville.
Yeah.
I remember OC amended the Public Finance Authority enabling legislation and put some other members on the board because of the structure. And guess what has happened? Governors have not nominated. Governors have not nominated individuals to fill those two out of three other positions.
Uh-huh.
Because the finance commissioner, the OMB director, and the governor basically makes up the board.
Because the governor is the chair, okay. Right? The finance commissioner is the executive director.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
And the budget director.
And the budget director is the secretary or something, right? Right. So the PFA, I got a joke for you. The reason why the PFA was structured was created in 1988 because we were having trouble raising funds, right, for capital projects. That was the reason, right? I think it's Act 5835. I think it is because we had a case where we dealt with that. That's a Farrelly thing, right? Uh-huh. Right, Docs? And one of the big projects was the Savangot, right? Yeah. The Savangot, the bridge to nowhere out there in Nada, right? Turpentine, that's it, this Turpentine Run, and had some other issues as well. See, the reason why I like to do that, because I like to test my memory, because you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But Wang Louis said, if I were, Wang Louis told me this like 20 years later, he said, if I were governor, they'd never create no PFA. I said, governor.
Right?
Right? Yeah. But I may have a slightly different perspective from the late, great Wang Louis, right? Because it wasn't created just for power. It was created for access.
Yes.
Because we needed to get to Wall Street, right? And create.
Neville. Yeah. Neville, the only senator that voted against that legislation was Bardeen Brong.
And by the way, I saw him last week. And he looked good.
Bardeen Brong warned the members, listen, you guys are creating an entity unto itself.
And that's the issue. I think that's the issue that Wang Louis was saying, where this is another layer of government, right? And one of the issues with the Public Finance Authority over the years, right? Dumping Brong.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Yep. No, check this out, right? That's right. I ain't really into tapping like myself on the back and that kind of thing, right? But I's a man that would relish walking in the Public Finance Authority.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Some of us are good at, like, I would be lost in Public Works or a certain place or the Waste Management Authority, right? Yeah. But I would have fun with the PFA, right? But the real issue, right, at the end of the day, right, you know what we want for the people? Sound governance.
Yes.
Right? Regardless of what your perspective is. And we don't want waste in government. Right? Mm-hmm. We want when we do things, right, that we're doing things in the best interest of the people of the Virgin Islands. And I think that is supposed to be the underlying, right, foundational belief, right, and buy-in from everybody in a leadership position in government. Doing first and then ducks.
Yeah, when the PFA was created, I think if you read some of the whereas statements in the legislation, they speak about the need for governance and, lack of a better term, corporate governance and fiscal responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And what we had before was this, you know, OMB fighting the finance commissioner. There's always been rivalry between those two. And as the OMB director has become more and more and more and more powerful over the years, at a time when the finance commissioner was the man, you know, or woman. But then the OMB, they created the OMB, and then, you know, I remember the one of the first powerful budget directors that I remember was Cyril King's Justin, the young boy.
Moorhead?
Yes. Yeah. Well, he was a very important part of the King and Wang Louis administration. Well,
one thing about the King administration, you're going to get that credit for, they were into empowering Virgin Islands.
Yes. Leverant Saro, Agis Rempo.
Roy Schneider.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He brought all of them back, Cyril King did. Bless his soul.
Yeah.
And so the budget director became more and more and more powerful. And at certain point, and you'll see right now, you know, they'll say, well, why did this thing happen? Ask the OMB director, you know? What do they know about why Wapa they lay a pipe or why Public Works they pave a road?
Come on, man.
You know what I'm saying?
Come on.
So, you know, there's a lot of concentration of power. So, I like the fact that there's a PFA to try to diffuse some of that power from some of the thing. But the problem, the thing with the PSC, the PFA is that it needs to be transparent. It needs to be,
and it needs to
have competence.
And it shouldn't be
competence.
Administration
no,
dominant
no,
in its composition.
No,
and of the five members, three right? It's governor, finance, commissioner, and OMB director.
No, it should be a panel of experts.
Yeah, man.
Yes, that's what I meant about competence.
Yeah, Doc's, Doc's your take on sound governance being the underlying responsibility and belief of everybody in power positions.
Yes, sound governance, Neville, and as I always say, goes back to the legislature. And Council was talking about the Office of Management and Budget, right? The problem that we have, and I continue saying about the 10 people, when you pass a budget, Neville, right? We're supposed to have what we call a balanced budget law, right? The budget is supposed to be balanced.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if the budget isn't balanced and the funds don't come in, the Executive Budget Act gave the power to the OMB to allocate funds. Uh-huh. So what happens in the legislature, Neville? And we've been there.
But before that, the first power really is for the legislature to raise taxes or generate revenue if they can, which of course is political suicide. You know what I'm saying?
But that is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
that is what I'm saying, Neville. So if the legislature passed a budget for $1 million, right?
Mm-hmm.
And September, and in when we pass about September 30th, and the fiscal year begins October 1. And we go back into session on October 13th and then appropriate $10 million to that budget ceiling that we have already put in place. Guess what happens, Neville?
Mm-hmm.
The Office of Management and Budget and the governor controls the allocation of those resources.
Correct.
And that is why I keep saying that the legislature is the governance, the body that sets all of this in motion. And when you abdicate your responsibility,
that's the word.
to follow it, whether political suicide or not, good governance begins in the legislative branch of government. Look at what's happening in Congress. Look what's happening in Congress right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay? You check this out, right? Congress making our state legislatures look brilliant.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. So that's what I'm saying, where the legislative branch of government has to take on its role granted to it and then make put the executive branch to execute what they put in place. But you can't pass a budget in September for a budget ceiling of $1 million and then come back in October and add another million and you don't have the revenue stream.
You got to identify the revenue stream. By the way, the greatness of the show comes with the audience. So one of my listeners, they sent me the revised Organic Act as relates to the governor, right? The governor shall have general supervision and control of the department, bureaus, agencies, and other instrumentalities of the executive branch of government of the Virgin Islands.
Uh-huh.
He shall appoint and may remove all officers and employees of the executive branch of government of the Virgin Islands, except as otherwise provided in this or any other act of Congress, or under the laws of the Virgin Islands, and shall commission all officers that he may be authorized to appoint. He shall be responsible for the faithful execution of laws of the Virgin Islands and the laws of the United States applicable in the Virgin Islands. So the governor got a lot of power, but there are limitations.
Absolutely.
As well. So we'll take a break on that note. Great discussion, a learning process taking place here on the Table Talk this morning. Be back right after this.
This weekend, the Forum and Antilles School presents the VI Contemporary Fine Art and Water Island Music Festival. Three nights of excitement at Antilles School St. Thomas. Thursday's VIP art opening, 6 p.m. Friday and Saturday, music and art, 6 p.m. Music starts at 8. Music by Julian Gargiulo and friends. Art curated by Amy Gibbs and Lucian Downs. Performance supported by the National Endowment for the Arts. For more information, www.theforumusvi.org.
There are many complex issues that arise in our territory.
Comes with the Territory with Leslie Comision.
Join me, Leslie Comision, for a breakdown of political issues facing our territory, one conversation at a time. I'm here to be the voice you can rely on for information that is straightforward and comprehensive. Tune in to be a part of the discussion. It all comes with the territory.
Comes with the Territory airs Sundays at 1 p.m. and re-airs at 7 p.m. on WTJX-TV, Channel 12.
He said that black smoke was constantly coming out of the burn pits 24/7. And my reaction to it was like, wow, that doesn't sound very safe. Wonder what that's about. And in my mind, I couldn't imagine at the time that type of system operating could potentially harm our service members.
Journalism that seeks and reveals. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Doom scrolling. Let's break that habit, folks. I'm Aisha Roscoe, host of Weekend Edition Sunday, where if you want to know what's going on in the world and why it matters, all you have to do is give your thumb a rest and perk up your ears. We've got the news, but we've also got curiosity, joy, and surprise. Tune in for Weekend Edition from NPR News.
Weekend Edition, Sundays at 8 a.m. right here on WTJX FM, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
And we're back here to analyze this, a midweek edition of the Table Talk. Ronnie Russell and, yes, Ronnie Russell and Rocky Labor are on assignment. So we got Dwayne Henry deputizing for Ronnie this morning. And nobody for Rocky today. And, of course, the one only Duck School out of the Rock. Good morning, gentlemen. Glad to have you on once again. By the way, something that I wanted to mention is that you know what this is also, gentlemen? This is good civics. It's a good civics lesson. You know what I'm saying? Because the Supreme Court said extraordinarily rare.
Yes.
Right? So you know, maybe this is important, Ducks, because, you know, I did fill in for Leslie Comisión, right? And we were talking about the role of government. And we were talking about the Constitutional Convention. Right?
Yeah.
And maybe it's good this is happening now. So this could be maybe a topic of discussion, if not part of the input in the final document when we do convene a convention going forward, Docs.
Absolutely.
As relates to the power of the government and the legislature's ability as relates to boards.
Yes, you have to be able to deal with that. And when you read what the Organic Act says, it says the government, it didn't speak about instrumentalities.
Mm-hmm.
Instrumentalities are created by the legislature. Okay?
Yo.
I think we might be splitting hairs there.
Well, like I was saying, it's an argument before the court. So the court is the one who have to deal with that issue.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, I am not learned in those things when
check this out, right? You can't be using juxtaposition. Words like juxtapose and then ball about learned, my brother. Learned.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is when the judges sit down to opine and
hear it up.
And
opine on issues, they've been exposed to people coming before them, they're supposed to the land, the scrutiny. Like I said, my was just.
But Docs, we had too much in particular in the last Constitutional Convention, where the election was held in 2007 and final document in 2010, because it took so long to convene. We had too much individual and collective aptitude and brilliance for us to fail like they did and make it a personal thing, worrying about majority and minority instead of focusing on a document. That's the problem, man.
Mm-hmm. That is the problem.
We got to deal with that. By the way, I don't want your head to blow up now, right? But one of my listeners just sent me a text message. And she said, we, the VI, would be so well served if you guys were the ones to write a new draft of our Constitution. Brilliance every day. You know what I'm saying? So take a bow, gentlemen. Take our flowers now. You know what I'm saying? So I want to thank the listener for that compliment, because that's what it is. But all we're really trying to do, right, is what that guest speaker at UVA that year when I was a senator said. We need to broaden our scope. That's how we're trying to do, right? Yeah. We're trying to broaden our scope. We want the public to have a good feel, right? Fidel, you go somewhere one about Fidel, but it was about education and healthcare, right? In this case, that's what we're dealing with, education. So we want that. Of course, I want that to know as much as I respect Fidel. Conk me on the chest side of that deal there, okay? Ice chest, right?
The t-shirt
and the tam, right?
Yeah.
The camouflage, right?
Yeah,
camouflage and the tam, right? That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Quickly, let's talk about more legislative powers. And this now is an intra situation with the Stephen Payne issue, right? This is intra, right? This is inter is
between
right? Intra is internal, right? I want to say this, right? When I realized that, hey, Neville, there's a likelihood, you got an urge, you might get in the political arena. The Clinton cases came up in 1998, right? It was before Congress, they were doing the impeachment, right? And all that stuff, right? And it was the Henry Hyde and Maxine Waters show, right?
Yes.
Right? But I enjoyed listening to the debate. And Sheila Jackson Lee, I believe that's her name, right?
Texas.
Out of Texas. She said, always remember what you're doing when you're removing an elected official or impeaching a president in this case. And in this case, we're talking about Stephen Payne. Is you're undoing an election.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
So be careful with that, right? So I want the public to know that I am very much, you know, cognizant of that, right? That reality, that's something that happened, right? Somebody, you know, they win an election. You know what that means? The will of the people.
The will of the people,
is what they wanted. So I want to, you know, come to Senator Payne's defense from that perspective, right? However, when every legislature convene, there are rules that are adopted for a number of reasons, right? And one in particular is to protect the legislature from itself. What happened with Senator Payne was unfortunate, right? Because ultimately, the legislature was forced to undo an election when they expelled him, right, in 2022. His argument is that he didn't have due process. I think that's the premise, right?
The Trumpian argument.
And the legislature has documented that that is further... That couldn't be. That's the term I use, right? Couldn't be further from the truth.
Right.
Right? And now it's a Supreme Court deal. That was done in 2022, July or early mid 2022, because the Democratic Party tapped Senator Bolkes, right? And Bolkes Jr. to fill that spot, and then Bolkes ultimately defeated him
in the primary.
Right? Right. So that's what we are dealing with. I want to ask both of you this question. At what point do we ask, does an elected official ask himself, do I fight all the way to the end, or is the Virgin Islands more important than me fighting for myself all the way to the end? Dwayne and then Docs.
Well, okay, two things. You know, first of all, to be a politician, at least one running for office, you have to have the hugest ego in the world. I mean, you guys know that. Because think of it. The mere fact that you're running for election is you're saying that I'm the best man. I'm better than anybody else out there. So that takes some that's ego. And plain and simple. You know, whether it's good ego, bad ego, it's ego. And so anytime... you get elected to something and you're getting expelled, your ego is being bruised. Clearly. The problem here...
They're not only ego, no. Families that work for you and
yes,
all that stuff.
Yes. There's a lot of consequences to it. The thing is this, right, is that nobody wants to undo it, and there's a long-standing, unwritten political doctrine not to undo the will of the people by reversing or undoing elections. However, the legislature has a right to police itself, and it did that in this case. As a matter of fact, Senator Payne's argument that, and Donald Trump's argument that because they weren't convicted of anything, there's no due process. It's not necessarily true. Due process, the legislature had a procedure for dealing with this. That is the due process he got. They didn't just wake up and say, okay, you're out of a job. They actually had hearings or deliberations and determined. So those deliberations are due process. So the due process argument is not simply, you know, people try to say, well, they weren't convicted of anything or they haven't even been tried in a court of law. So that means due process hasn't been made. That's not necessarily true, because the legislature has its own, for lack of a better term, judiciary to deal with the members.
They put a select committee together to hear the evidence.
And that is the trial. That is the trial.
That's what's your take on this?
Well, my take on it is, again, it goes straight to the due process issue. You guys remember Kenneth Mapp when he was removed, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
His due process, he hired an attorney. He hired a Julio Brady.
Yes.
And they had basically a trial before the legislature.
Mm-hmm.
In this situation,
and like I said, that revolution was televised.
Yes,
that was on TV.
Televised.
Yeah.
Okay. So he was given an opportunity to defend himself before the full legislative branch. This one was a subcommittee of the legislature that made a finding. That finding, I believe what he's saying is, should have gone before the full body for him to bring his attorney in, or he represent himself, and provide witnesses, as Mapp did when Mapp had his case, when, like I said, Julio Brady was his attorney.
Mm-hmm.
And they were going back and forth. Mm-hmm. Asking questions and all of that is the key that I am looking at,
But check this out. While that's a good argument, right, I believe the legislature has the ability to determine how they go about
absolutely
processing his due, for the lack of a better term.
That is where the Equal Protection Clause comes in, and this is where the court now, I believe,
You know, I never looked at it from that perspective. That's an avenue. That's an opening.
But here's the thing. What process they use is determined by the law, the rules of the legislature. At the time, that legislature back then probably had that rule.
This legislature
had a different rule. So it depends on the rules of the list. That is the due process
there. Neville did say that every legislature passed a rule. So that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
All of those things have to be examined.
Correct.
But we can't go back to the old one because...
No. I think he was using that as to how they dispensed of the map issue.
Yes, right? And I get that. But that shouldn't matter in this legislature.
Because they had their own mechanism. And by the way, Docs, you bring up a good point, because when we were dealing with the admittance issue of Kevin Rodriguez, we actually had a full body committee
I get all that. Like I said, it was based on how each legislature determines to deal with that problem.
Correct.
He had opportunity to submit testimony or whatever to the select committee. The select committee, they meet in a smoke-filled room and come back and say, okay, here it is, expel the guy. He had his opportunity to be heard at the select committee. I don't want to argue the case.
I understand what you're saying. By the way, I like the definitive position you're taking there, counselor, right? You're sounding like it ain't a cold room, and that's a good thing.
I get ready to go 12 o'clock. That's what I dress.
But here's what I'm saying, right? Just like with the WAPA deal, right?
Uh-huh.
I am now obligated to do my homework, right? I need to find out, right, what exactly was in these rules that were adopted by the 34th legislature.
Absolutely.
And did the 34th, were they in conformity? I want to make sure I sound good. Hey, Docs, I want to sound good. I want to sound the part. Right? Yeah. Were they in conformity with what they adopted, right?
Mm-hmm.
To protect themselves from themselves. And not only that, establish structure going forward to deal with, you know, with legislative matters. Absolutely. So that's a good thing there as well.
You got to look at the rules, man. You got to look at the rules.
That's what I start with. So the Supreme Court, will hear these cases on March the 12th. And you know, we trust the Supreme Court to do what they're going to do. And hopefully, you know, we get some type of resolution and this is behind us. Mm-hmm. Now, I wanted to go back because you mentioned Trump and he's using a due process argument. Mm-hmm. He is also claiming, right, and this is how this conversation today is of a circular nature. He claiming that he's now being treated like Navalny. Right, he was at a town hall meeting with Laura Ingraham last night and claimed in Navalny and him. I want you to know, if you are like Navalny, right, mm-hmm. with all them indictments, you'd have been in jail now waiting for a trial. Okay, cuz
tell you go for
okay?
a walk.
So cool out. Okay, you ain't nothing near Navalny. Okay.
Well, listen. You know what Trump modus operandi is, right? You know what he does, right? Mm-hmm. That's what he does. He don't have any evidence, and he uses it try to.
I looked at the boy Daniel Dale had a field day with fact checking me last night at that Tong Hamilton. By the way, Docs, hold on there a second. Hold on a second. We got a text message and they were saying that you mentioned, I want to make sure I say this right, because I didn't want to speak for nobody. It said, Docs is mistaken. Section 11 of the Revised Organic Act does mention instrumentalities, but I wanted to respond to the text publicly to let a caller know, and other instrumentalities of the executive branch of government. Is WAPA of the executive branch of government?
Yes, because it's not the legislature, mm-hmm. and it's not the
judicial.
So anything has to be automatically executive.
So I just wanted to make sure we got it good. And one more thing, and another listener said, and did the good senator agree to be bung by the rules adopted by the 34th is a question. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he did, as he was in the majority.
Yes.
So, you know, that's what we're dealing with. Hey, look. My only regret is that the great conversation, time to fly. Uh-huh. And gentlemen, you know what Doc James used to say back in the day, right? When you gotta go. You gotta go. Yeah. Hey, Docs, thank you very much for joining me this morning, man. Appreciate it. Yeah. All right?
The court is on trial now.
Yes, it is. Yes. And you want to say something quickly, Dwayne?
And I just want to say real quick, blessed out day to the chief executive, Mr. Bryan.
Oh, yes. Without a doubt. Yeah?
Yeah.
Wow, I like that. Anyway, thank you very much for listening, audience. Appreciate your contributions, and thanks everyone for being a part of Analyze This, the midweek version of a table talk. Be back tomorrow. Talk to you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
The PBS NewsHour has a rich legacy of in-depth reporting and strong storytelling.
Only four people have sat in that chair before us, and the enormity of this moment is not lost on me. People turn to us because they know. They can hear from trusted sources of information and news.
That won't change a bit, even as the faces behind the desk change.
Good evening. I'm Jeff Bennett.
And I'm Amna Nawaz.
Weekdays at 7 p.m. on WTJX TV, Channel 12.
Music can be an incredibly personal experience. A song can inspire you, it can comfort you, it can make you feel understood, it can even take you back to a specific moment in your life. And it all begins with the artist. Join me, Raina Duras, as I get personal through in-depth interviews with your favorite musicians and find out where those songs come from on World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.